This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by my co-host, my brosif, Joshua Ryan Rusin, community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing today?
Gino, doing well. Very excited about everything we got going on here. Excited that we're spending time to work on the business and really build things out. Gino, what are you excited about?
Josh, I'm excited about spending more time with the family the next few weeks. A little bit of beach weather out here. I'm going to be golfing. I'm going to try golfing, I think, Josh. Definitely tennis every day. Just back to the basics. And, you know, business building. I think now is the time that everyone who's been in real estate for the last 6 months are going to get the fruits of their labor. We're going to talk about it a little bit, Josh, on the podcast today. When is the right time to get into real estate? It's the right time when you're ready. It's I think in any asset class, it's never the right time unless you're ready. And I'm excited to interview today's guest because I have a special place in my heart for him, because one of the first Jake and Gino students that really stood out to me, and we connected on so many different levels: entrepreneur, business guy, forward thinking. So I'm excited today.
Speaking of today's guest, we have Matt Shields. He's one of the two founding principals of Significant Lifestyle Communities. He has been a lifelong resident of Northeast Ohio and is also the founder of Virtuous Ventures, a successful digital transformation company located in Independence, Ohio. Virtuous Ventures has managed the hardware and software technology implementation for some of the largest consumer brands in the world. Amazon, Philips, and Elf Cosmetics are a few of the companies Matt has provided solutions for. Matt has used his experience running multi-million dollar international technology projects for various companies to cross-pollinate strategic solutions into new businesses and verticals. Significant is focused on acquiring 250 plus unit value-add properties in the Southeast United States. The overall goal is to provide safe, affordable housing for our tenants and return attractive profits for Virtuous Property Group investors. Matt is currently GP in 165 units throughout Georgia. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing good, Matt. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. It's crazy times, but it's exciting at the same time.
Yeah, as Robert Kiyosaki always says, buy fear, sell greed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So Matt, let's focus a little bit on your story. How did you get into your own business in the technology sector? Where did all that come from?
Yeah, so that's actually a good question. So I have always grown up in a entrepreneurial household. So my family started a country craft type business when I was younger, and they actually did pretty well for themselves. They had products in JCPenney. So, you know, as a young kid, I grew up going to JCPenney's and setting up displays, which, you know, didn't really think anything of it at the time, but that was, you know, actually pretty special. So fast forward to when I was 16, 17, we always wanted to get involved in real estate. And, you know, when I graduated high school, the only thing that we didn't really know all that terribly much about was the electrical side of things. So I got hired on with a electrical contractor who also had an apprenticeship program. That program lasted about 5 years. And again, because I was an entrepreneur, basically as soon as I could, I started my own electrical contracting company and went out on my own. I bought my first house when I was 19, and that was a fix and flip. And when I started the electrical contracting company, it worked really well. If the contracting company was slow, I would send our guys out to the houses to be able to work on the houses. And again, some of them were rentals, some of them were fix and flips, just kind of depended on each situation. So, you know, fast forward all the way to 2008, when the economy took its downturn. I was living in Cleveland, and pretty well always have lived in Cleveland. In Cleveland, you know, there was no construction going on. There really wasn't much of anything happening at that point. So the contracting company wasn't doing well. So fortunately, probably about 2 years ago or so before that, 2005-ish, six maybe, we started getting into energy management, which allowed us to start dabbling in some software. So we were quite literally controlling buildings, you know, remotely. We're turning on the air conditioning units and controlling heating systems and lighting systems and all of that. Again, 2005, 2006, that was, you know, pretty leading edge stuff back then. You know, now it's not a big deal. We can control our toasters from our phones. So we had a little bit of software background, and right at that time is when the first iPhone came out. So we pretty well just said, you know, hey, let's explore this opportunity. Let's jump in and, you know, see what we can do with the technology side of things. So that took a couple of different evolutions, but basically today what we do is we go into companies and evaluate how information flows through the company, and then we create software or apps to automate, streamline, manage as much of that information as we possibly can. So
Matt, what really excited you about getting into multifamily when you came to Jake and Gino a couple of years ago?
Yeah, so I started getting the itch. The technology company was doing well, and I always knew that I would get back into real estate again. So I started getting the itch again, probably 2016, 17, to getting back into it. So I started falling back on my roots. I started looking at, you know, single families, duplexes, maybe a quad, you know, something like that. That was the direction I was going to go. And obviously I had the internet at that point. So I was able to do a lot more research and learn a lot more about the opportunities. So I came across Grant Cardone. You know, he's obviously everywhere. So I absolutely identified with what he was saying, but I couldn't get behind, you know, him. He's just not, you know, I couldn't connect with him personally. So I always knew that, you know, this was sort of the big leagues here. You know, we're talking about millions of dollars. So I knew that I didn't want to go out and try to do this on my own. So I was looking for some type of training, schooling that, you know, can help take me to that next level. You shortcut all of the learning curves and have someone there that I can bounce ideas off of, what have you, you know, as I'm going through this process. So I found your Wheelbarrow Profits podcast and quite literally listened to, I think there's like 200 episodes, 250 episodes, something like that. But I quite literally listened to pretty well all of them before I reached out to you guys and then, you know, talked to Josh.
That's a lot of due diligence there, huh? You did your homework.
You know,
huh?
I wanted to be thorough, so.
Wow, that sounds like Josh, man. Josh does a lot of work before he actually commits. And I commend you for that, because I think as an entrepreneur, I think we all need to do our due diligence. And that was one of the learning lessons that I had when I got into real estate, my first deal and my second deal. I didn't know what due diligence was. I didn't have the proper education. Matt, what would you say to the listeners? How would you tell, if the listeners are listening right now, give me a couple of steps that you would tell them, this is how you got to get into multifamily. This is what I would do.
So first and foremost, I would reach out and, you know, again, find people that you connect with, you know, find people that have similar interests to you that are, you know, in the space. Mm-hmm. For me, fortunately, that was you guys. But, you know, even if you go smaller, you don't necessarily, you know, want to join a larger organization, you know, go to meetups and connect with other local people that, you know, are out there and doing it. And, you know, find out how you can help those people. You know, there's all kinds of questions. I mean, or there's all kinds of tips and tricks out there that say to do exactly this, no matter what type of industry you're trying to get into. But if you can find someone who you can connect with, you reach out and try to make their lives easier, do the work for them, you know, find opportunities for these people. Or if they're struggling with, in my case, I have a technology background. So maybe a syndicator is having problems with some type of technology or some type of, you know, issue that my background can help solve for them. So go out and be a resource to people. Don't just, you know, keep knocking on people's doors. Hey, you know, come look at me. I can help, you know, actually provide value, provide, you know, that help. And, you know, that connection will happen. It'll just, you know, keep evolving and keep flourishing. So that would be, you know, one of the biggest steps that I would say to take is, you know, just get involved with people around you. Or again, if you have the ability to reach out and join larger networks, larger groups, you're just going to, you know, advance that much quicker. Mm-hmm. So,
Matt, quick question. How would you say your entrepreneurial background has helped you getting into the multifamily space? I mean, most people come from a corporate career where they're an employee, where you already had that business owner and that mindset as is.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's probably being willing to take the leap. You know, so many people are afraid of that leap, afraid of the unknown. And, you know, being an entrepreneur, you kind of have to live in that space. You have to, you know, be willing to accept that, you know, no matter what happens, and be okay with whatever choices, you know, you're going to make. You know, you have to understand that you're going to make mistakes. There will be mistakes made, you know, but the reward on the other side is just so much greater than sitting behind a desk, you know, your entire life. I personally, there's no way that I could have ever, you know, I would have been miserable sitting in a cube or behind a desk my entire life.
So Matt and Jake, the definition for me of an entrepreneur is somebody who makes enough money to pay for their mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's what it basically comes down to.
And if you have enough money to solve your problems, then you don't have any problems. So, you know,
but money's not what we're focusing on as an entrepreneur. I think we're focusing on value. We're focusing on, if you're going to buy an apartment complex, it's not just real estate. It's about people. It's about systems and it's about culture. Now, when you get in the beginning, you don't know that, but as you start growing and evolving and building your business up, there's so many different levers that we need to learn. And I think that's what's really important with somebody who comes from a corporate background. They still can have that skill set, but I think you have to look at real estate, any kind of real estate, as a business. And how do we look at it as a business? I think entrepreneurs already have that mindset and have a vision of where they want to go. And then ultimately hiring people, whether it's a Jake and Gino community or whether it's a partner, or an attorney, whoever that is, to guide you and to help you through the process. I think that's really important. Matt, what I want to ask you is, what did you really learn? What did you think you knew, and then you unlearned it and learned it through using Jake and Gene? I'll give you an example for myself. For me, I thought syndication was, oh, why would I want to do that? I don't have enough equity in the deal. But then once I started learning about syndication through the Jake and Gino community, because we hadn't really syndicated a deal up until 1,000 units, I'm like, well, this is just a tool in the toolbox, but it's an amazing tool. It allows me to get into bigger deals. I'm able to serve more people. I'm able to scale up. I'm able to create another stream of revenue. I unlearned something that I thought was right, and it was actually just a different way of looking at it. What couple of things did you really learn through the community that were like, wow, I wish I'd known this sooner?
Yeah, so same type of thing. And I think that this probably can be correlated in, again, so many different parts of life. You know, I remember having a conversation when I first joined Jake and Gino with you, Gino. You basically asked, you know, what are my goals? What do I want to do? And at the time, my response was that I think I'm going to do like a 15 or 20 unit deal here locally, because that's what I, you know, could afford to do on my own, and get my, you know, get my feet wet and understand how it all works. And then I would bring in, you know, other people's money, other investors and all of that. I quickly learned that, you know, the power of partnership. I think that was probably about a year ago or so when we had that conversation. Very, very quickly learned that the power of partnership allows you to excel so much more quickly. A few months after that, if you remember, we won a contract for a 427 unit deal in Tallahassee, Florida. So I basically went from, you know, this mindset of, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to do, you know, 15, 20 units. And then I made that leap because of being around all of the other people, realizing that there is absolutely the possibility to be able to do so much bigger, greater things when you bring a number of people together. So again, went from 15, 20 units up to winning a contract on a 427 unit deal. So
damn, Josh, yeah. You're that good, bro. From 15 units to 427 units. And what was the difference? Honestly, it was education times action equals results. Because what you're not hearing from Matt is Matt went to the boot camps. Matt was on the coaching calls. Matt went to visit the markets. Matt brought value to his partners. I hope everyone's writing all of that down, because it's not just like Matt showed up and had a couple of calls with Gino and Gino's like, yeah, I want to shift your mindset. And this was going to, no, Matt did the work. There was a lot of work involved. And one thing that's got to be really crystal clear to everybody, Matt got in when the market was really hot, when everyone's saying there's no deals out there, you can't find anything. But Matt knows, as an entrepreneur, life is not linear. What Matt did was the parabolic curve, or you want to say, he went from 15 to 427. Now, that's pretty amazing, because I went from 25 to 36 to 136, right? Matt just leaped that right over. So as an entrepreneur, we don't live linear lives. You don't buy a duplex, then a triplex, and a quad. That really doesn't normally happen if you're learning. You're buying the duplex and the fourplex, and you're up to 40 units. So I think that's what happens. People get mixed up with, I need money for a down payment. I need this. No, that's what happened with me. Syndication can open up that route, and partnerships and JV can open up that route, and raising capital for other deals can open up that route. There's so many different ways. And that's why the strength that Matt has as an entrepreneur, he can see opportunities and he can see over all the noise, and the ability to learn is amazing. Do you have any other aha moments while you've been through the community?
So one of the other things that we touched on, which you sort of just glanced by it there as well, is, like you said, I got in at the top of the market, or I started learning all of this at the top of the market. And it was actually Bill Hamm, one of the teachers at Jake and Gino, who first, you know, sort of made me realize this. He said that, and again, this is about a year ago or so, he said that, you know, we're getting in at the best time. Again, you're at the peak right here. All of this takes time to set up, all of the connections, all of the learnings, all of the, market analysis and all of that, that all takes time to set up. So we're up here and, you know, again, everyone said, you know, there's only one way to go. Everyone kept saying, you know, it can't go too much higher. And they've been saying that for years, and they kept on going higher. But at some point it's got to come down. So when it comes down, which it looks like that's where we are right now, we're in a good position because we already have this framework set up. We already have our network set up. We have investors that are, you know, looking to invest with us. Yes. We have all of the, we have our muscle. We have, you know, everything behind us, you know, ready to go. So again, it's about capitalizing on the opportunities as, you know, as they present themselves, not looking at, you know, where we are in the market and saying, oh, I'm too late, or, you know, it's not the right time. Like you said, Gino, the right time is when you're ready. And no matter where the market is, eventually it's going to come around where you're going to find, you know, great deals. And again, it looks like we're kind of on the precipice of that right now.
Matt, I need to expand on that also. So for me, I always hear students saying, I'm going to wait till the market crashes. The problem is they're not educated enough to know when the market crashes. They don't have the investor base. When the market crashes, the financing gets harder. You don't have those pillars set in place. You don't know how to buy right. You don't know how to manage right. You don't know how to finance right. You don't know how to syndicate right. So when the market does crash, you're presented with an opportunity. If you're a beginner or a neophyte, you won't even be able to analyze or understand what's going on. But if you've been taking your lessons and you've been investing in your education, because this is a lifelong learning, and you can apply this into other asset classes once you get really good, whether it's crypto, whether it's the stock market, whether it's single family homes, whether it's commercial, whether it's self-storage, it can go into different sectors. You always learn that knowledge. You'll always know what a market cycle is. You always learn how to raise capital. You'll have an investor base, so you can capitalize on different asset classes. So for me, it's all about getting clarity for yourself. What do you want for yourself? I think multifamily is a basic human need. That's why we love it. I think it has amazing tax benefits. I think it's the right vehicle. So for me, I understood all that, and I was willing to wait 18 months for our first deal because my other alternatives was continue to work at the restaurant. And how's that going right now? Thank God we sold the restaurant, right? So you need to be proactive as an entrepreneur, and you need not to be afraid, because there's risk in everything. You know, there's risk in waiting for the government to pay you. There's risk in your business. There's risk in your W-2 job. So just get clear on what you want and then go out there and pay to play, seek to serve, and start building your muscles. And then once the opportunity comes, you're really positioned really well right now with the investors, with the couple of deals you have, and with the knowledge that you have in the markets, and you have the market cycle timing, and you know the brokers now, because all of a sudden, the broker's going to come knocking again. We've been knocking on brokers' doors for years and years, and now they have deals out there and they need to sell. So if you're on their lists and you've been responsive to them and you've built a rapport, guess what? But that takes time. And going forward, just think about it. It's never the right time unless it's right for you. Is it a good time to get in now? It's fearful. I mean, the economy is going to slow down. Occupancy rates are going to plummet. There's going to be more vacancy. Rents are not going to be rising anymore. But that's when you start learning. You don't have to take action and buy a deal now, but at least get the education. So going forward, you can at least in the next market cycle understand what's going on.
Yeah. No, exactly. And it's going to take a few years before, we're way back up here again, so you still have this yes. down and this ramp up cycle. So there's still plenty of time, to capitalize on this and put yourself in a completely different situation. So,
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I want to sum up some of that because I think it was really important, everything we just covered there. And one, quite simply, I think success happens when preparation meets opportunity. So those that were getting prepared are now able to capitalize on that opportunity. And you guys had mentioned getting ready and when is the right time. And what I realized is all the lights in town are never going to turn green. For the wrong people, it'll never be the right time. And actually, it's always the right time. You just got to commit, take action, and make it happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
I'm sorry. I'm looking for a book on my shelf. It's Sam Zell's book. I think it's Am I Being Too Subtle? I forget what this title is. I'm sorry, everybody. But read Sam Zell's book because he talks about it. He's a contrarian, right? You know, the thing I just wrote down in my notes here, buy fear, sell greed. He's been waiting for years to get into the market to buy deals, right? Because he's just been on the sidelines because he's just a contrarian. Now he's going to see the opportunity in this market. So read his book because he's not just into real estate. I mean, he's into every other asset class also. And as an entrepreneur, there's so many different opportunities. So for me, that's amazing. Matt, what are you going to be doing now going long-term? What are you excited about? What markets are you in? What do you think you guys are going to start looking at right now?
Yeah, so we're actually really excited about our new brand, Significant. So JP Albano and myself, who's another Jake and Gino member, created Significant because we saw a gap in the market with how people are being treated in their, you know, in their communities. Like even right now, this is a perfect example. You know, we're going through these turbulent times and all of that. And you see the president speaking about, you know, what's going to happen and how everything is going to, you know, be moving forward. You have him flanked by, you know, people in the medical community and, you know, all of these health professionals, all of that. Well, where's all the multifamily people, you know, at? Why aren't they up there? I mean, basically, we've got millions and millions of people that are living in multifamily communities. Where are the representation between, you know, with all of these big companies out there that, you know, should be, you know, sort of front lines? Hey, you know, what can we do? How can we, you know, help our members? How can we help the people that are, you know, living in our, you know, in our communities? You know, you have people living by themselves. You have elderly people living by themselves who are very susceptible to this. And, you know, these big operators don't have the systems in place to be able to make sure that those people are okay. You know, they basically say, well, that's not our job. You know, we shouldn't do that. So we have a different thought process. We feel that is our job. We should be catering to people in every way that we possibly can. And again, obviously right now, you know, there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of unknown in the world. So we are providing our residents with, you know, security and understanding that, you know, this is unprecedented for everyone. So, you know, moving forward, we're going to be taking this, this mindset, this approach to all of our investors and all of our opportunities that we present, that, you know, we are managing these properties differently. You know, we do care about our residents. I mean, obviously, you know, at the very core of this, those residents, those members are the people that, you know, are making all of us money. So we need to protect them. We need to, you know, keep them, you know, sort of top of mind. So extremely, extremely excited about, you know, getting that message out into the market and, you know, making sure that everyone understands that there's, you know, yes, there's these huge companies that are very, very successful, but, you know, how accommodating are they to the residents of the communities? They're not really, you know, they're providing four walls, a ceiling, and a floor. And other than that, they don't really, you know, necessarily care about the members. So any rate, very excited about, you know, getting that message out and continuing to advance the Significant brand and the Significant mottos and messaging. So we're actually looking in Southeast United States. We actually had some opportunities up here in the Cleveland area. So, you know, we're not necessarily limiting ourselves to any one market. We basically are looking for larger deals, 250 units and above. So there's only so many of those that come on the market. So because of that, we've kind of had to open up our you know, our markets to other markets. But obviously, we still go through and evaluate each one of those areas, each one of those cities, make sure that the demographics supported and you know, the local economy supports what we're trying to do as well. So
before we get to the short answers, I just want to ask you, was the training in the academy with ManageRight, and by hearing Jake always saying we want to be the Chick-fil-A of customer service, mm-hmm. and really saying that the C space is really underperformed as far as clean, safe, affordable customer service. And that's part of the business. That's part of, if you're a landlord and not really a business person and just worrying about landlording and not taking care of the customer experience, I mean, it's hard to do that when you're scaling up with implementing systems and hiring the right team. That's part of it. And if you can serve your customer well, because the customer typically does not leave, a resident does not leave an apartment because of rent increase. They leave an apartment because the hot water heater didn't work for 3 days, mm-hmm. or because when they came in the office, they got a really nasty answer, or you didn't follow up with them on an email, or there's no community there, or there's no customer service. That's the majority of the reasons why they leave. So Matt, I think if you can do that and create that kind of culture in the communities themselves, you're going to do really awesome. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And you guys have always been preaching that exact same type of message. So yeah, no, couldn't agree more.
Good. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Gino and I are super excited to tell you about the audiobook version of The Honeybee, which was recently released.
The Honeybee tells the story of Noah, a disappointed, disaffected salesman who feels like his life is going nowhere until the day he has a chance encounter with a man named Tom Barnum, the beekeeper. In his charming, down-home way, Tom, the bee man, teaches Noah and his wife Emma how to grow their personal wealth using the lessons he learned from his beekeeping passion.
In the audio version, Gino and I sat down for an exclusive interview after each chapter, where we elaborate on the stings we felt throughout the business, the importance of scaling up, and how we've been able to create multiple streams of revenue.
For more information and to get your copy of the audiobook, visit jakeandgino.com/honeybee.
All right, Matt, I got some short answer questions here for you. What would you say your best habit for success is?
Best habit for success is to keep moving forward every day. Just do little things. I think a lot of times people think that they need to have this goal and they need to, you know, get the entire thing done as quickly as possible. Yes, that is important to get it done, but if you take just small little bite-sized chunks and keep moving forward with it, do a little bit every day, you're moving in the right direction and eventually you're going to make it to whatever goal it is you're trying to get to.
Love that. What about your favorite book and why?
Oh, my favorite book is Never Split the Difference. I've always loved that book, Chris Voss. I know that you guys just had him around a few days ago. But Chris Voss, Never Split the Difference. It is so applicable to everything in life. Actually, Chris even mentions that everything in life is a negotiation. Doesn't matter if you're sitting at a restaurant, doesn't matter if you're, you know, checking out at the grocery store, there's always little small negotiations going on in all facets of life. So that knowing the different tips and techniques that he mentions in that book is, you know, it's just fantastic.
So Matt, I think Josh has been reading that book for like the last 3 years because he gets me to do things like, he's like, that's not another podcast. Sure, I've only got three. Let me do another one, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Write another book. Yeah, sure. So the negotiation, I think Josh is doing well in that. And I could not agree anymore. And it's really building rapport, and you really need this with the brokers. You know, mm-hmm. you're empowering questions. What can we do to get this deal done? You know, I think just looking at it from as an entrepreneur, by solving a problem, not by being antagonistic or by, you know, the win, lose or whatever, you're really trying to solve somebody else's problem. And if you can do that, there's certain tactics about doing it. The book is amazing. I mean, I've read the book twice. I've taken notes on it. So anyone who hasn't read it, at least listen to the podcast that we had with Chris Voss. We've had two podcasts on the Wheelbarrow Profits. I would go back and listen to those and then read the book. Cause like Matt said, it's applicable to everybody. If you're raising a family, if you're running a business, if you want to go out to dinner with your wife, whatever it is, vacation, it's just so applicable to every part of your life.
Love that. All right, so there have been some really good golden nuggets in this episode. I want to recap a few, and then Gino, I know you're going to add to it. So Matt gave us a good formula how to get in multifamily, or in fact, any new industry. And really, when you look at it, you got to find a community of like-minded individuals, and then look at the ways you can add value to them. So definitely lean on your strengths. Another thing we talked about is when you prepare ahead of time of the opportunity. That's when you're able to take advantage of it. And when is really the right time, right? Is there a right time? And we don't think so. It's always the right time, right? But you have to be committed to making it happen, taking action. And another way to separate yourselves in this industry is to really have a better service, right? Be bought in on that mission. And that's what's going to differentiate yourself and give you results and set you apart from your competition. Gino, what do you have to add to that?
Well, I love the quote, everybody, buy fear and sell greed. I mean, I think that's really important. And I don't want to gloss over the fact that Matt's a really hard worker. I mean, he's an entrepreneur. He's taken a lot of risk. And I think he's trying to limit his downside risk, because every entrepreneur is out there. We're trying to find out what the risks are and trying to mitigate our risks. And how do you do that? You go out there, you educate yourself, you surround yourself with a great team, and then ultimately you get clarity on what your situation is. And I have no problem with starting small. I mean, I wouldn't mind if Matt bought a fourplex and then say, you know what, this is not for me. I'm going to pivot. I think big and start small. It'll give you the confidence to know what you're doing is right. That's what I ultimately did. We bought a 25 unit on our first deal, and that wasn't huge, but there was me, Jake, and my brother, Mark. There was three of us. So on average, it was 8 units each. And from that, you scale to 1,000 units. So it's really think big, start small. But and I think, Josh, I want to leave off with this. Don't think you know what you know, because sometimes what you know is not right. Because, you know, Matt thought he was going to start with a small property in Cleveland, and then all of a sudden he's bidding on 400 units in Tallahassee. So that is huge. So just be careful about that.
Matt, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
So I would say probably the best way, I'm trying to be more active on Instagram. So it's Matthew Shields, is my handle on Instagram, or you can email me, matt.shields@significantlc.com.
How do you spell significant?
That's actually a good story. Let me tell you this real quick. So we were trying to think of this brand name, and we went through the exercise, you know, these are our core values and all of that. The word significant kept coming up over and over and over again. So I thought, okay, you know, that's a perfect name to name ourselves. We want to be called Significant. So I started working on the logos, and I wanted to do some kind of a text logo. And every time that I wrote the word significant, all I could see was "I can't" at the end. So I chopped off the T and made "I can." So now it's significant. So it's just like significant. You know, spell out significant minus the T, and that's how you spell it.
It's another amazing lesson, everybody. It's about entrepreneurship and building a business. He's got core values out there. He has his mission statement out there, so he can fall back all upon that. So multifamily is amazing. It's the vehicle, but by learning with the Jake and Gino community, by being an entrepreneur, you can definitely build a viable business through this.
All right. Well, listen, Matt, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and sharing your movers and shakers story. If you want to be the next movers and shakers guest, email me, josh@jakeandgino.com. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. And until next time, let's make it a movers and shakers week. See you, everybody.
Thanks, Matt.
Take care. Thanks, guys.